Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of IJD HTF, where we are talking about episodes 6, 7, and 8 of Paper Girls. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, and we finished it. How do you feel so far?
I feel like I got into this place where I didn't want to finish the show, like once they said it was canceled.
Yeah.
Because I was just kind of in a cranky mood about it. And then it kind of sucked because I felt like they kind of left on a cliffhanger. And you're kind of like, well, what happened? Where are they?
I know.
Like, so I wish that they had announced, like, okay, we're going to do one final season to wrap it up.
And they did this with Deadly Class, too.
Which both of them technically are, Deadly Class and Paper Girls are both graphic novels. So you can technically just go read and figure out what happened.
Yeah.
But it's a bummer.
I thought they were doing a really good job, too.
I feel like they did a really good job with picking the actresses and the actors and everything. And I feel like the main issue I had with this show was I felt like I had a pacing problem.
Yeah, it felt slow at times.
Like, it either felt like a lot happened in a short amount of time or nothing happened in an entire episode. So it was kind of one of those things.
It did pick up at the end, though. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's kick it off with episode 6. So this episode started with the girls showing up at a club to look for Tiffany's older self. And it's this huge rave. And Tiffany kind of ditches the other girls to go look for herself alone. And when she finds her, like, her older self is super, super chill about the fact that her younger self is there. Whereas, like, when Erin saw the younger kids, she, like, freaked out.
It's crazy how they, like, break off so much.
Oh, a ton. Just they're always off.
Like, I would always be like, we need to stick together. We're in, like, a different timeline, you know?
Yeah.
But they're all, like, pretty comfortable going off and meeting their selves.
And I'm like, you're not messing up the timeline at all by doing this stuff. Like,
I kind of like that they were more lax on all that.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people are like, you do anything, it'll create a ripple. And then it will mess everything up, which it probably does to a certain extent.
I know in the graphic novels, they were a lot more stringent about how all of that worked and what would affect the timeline and what wouldn't. And it was all very well explained.
Oh, cool.
And like their choices all had to do with not being disruptive of the timeline. Whereas like in the show, rifts, they kind of...
Well, the rifts are kind of probably there because of the disruptions, right?
That's very possible.
It doesn't get a chance to explain it, but we can speculate.
Yeah, so it was kind of weird because younger Tiffany meets older Tiffany and the older Tiffany's just like, yeah, cool, like come crash at my place. And you're like, okay, you're not concerned at all that they're there from the past? Like, no big deal. She's just like, oh, this is cool. This is my younger self. This is fun.
Well, we do find out she's like super genius.
Well, yeah, which we've known that she's really smart for a long time and that she goes on to be a doctor of sorts. But we find out more and more about this or about her these next few episodes. So while this is going on, KJ goes out alone and she goes to watch 2001 at the theater. And she's mainly there to spy on her older self, who's on a date with Lauren, who she'd met in episode 5. And
she's actually very passive. She doesn't meet herself. Like, she spies a lot.
She does talk to Lauren again.
Yeah.
And kind of is, like, in a roundabout way, kind of, like, asking if she's on a date and trying to suss that out. Because she's kind of discovering her sexuality at that time.
And she already knows.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I think...
Because she was at the party.
Yeah, and I think as an 11-year-old or 12-year-old, however old she is, 14, she probably is already having feelings of like, oh, maybe I'm attracted to women, but she's like trying to suppress that. And then when she sees her older self just openly being who she is, I think that's kind of interesting for her. So one thing that happens in the graphic novels that doesn't happen in the show is in the show, Mac opens up to KJ about finding out she's going to die of cancer. And during this whole thing in the graphic novels, Mac and KJ actually like kiss and like are a couple, kind of.
I was thinking there was supposed to be something there.
Because
they're spending a lot of time together.
Yeah. And in the show, they didn't touch on that or go that direction at all.
Yeah. I don't know if the actors felt like uncomfortable or if they were too young or whatnot.
I don't know. I don't think it had to do with the actors. I think they were probably just like, oh, let's see how season one does. And like kind of put the inkling out there like, oh, something could happen. Like, because I mean, like even just watching the show, you go, oh, like they could easily make that a thing. And I think they were probably waiting until season two to explore that a little bit, but you know, there is no season two. So Tiffany ends up wanting to track down Larry because he hasn't died yet in this timeline. And they show up at the farm and show Larry his book that's like completely full of all of those like information about all the different rifts.
I feel like Larry is always a little bit kind of shady.
Oh yeah.
Like for being on the good guy's side, he's like very much a soldier, but also kind of like has his own agenda.
Well, it's okay. So they call it like the good guy side, right? And I don't think the old watch is necessarily good either, but I definitely understand both sides.
Yeah.
Like I understand the old watch not wanting people to mess with the timeline.
But the reasoning behind that, according to the new watcher or the resistance, is that they want to keep the money.
They want to keep the money and the power.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where you're like, okay, well,
I
understand not wanting to mess up the timeline because you can completely destroy everything. But
you don't go into the timeline and create chaos.
Yeah.
To save the time. It's kind of like an oxymoron.
So they show Larry this book and everything else. And then on the way back, Tiffany's like berating her older self. And she's like, you're so boring. And like, why did you leave school? Blah, blah, blah. And then she realizes that she wants to open her own institute. And things start like clicking in her head where she's like, oh, I actually know that. Like, she knows that her older self goes to make the institute because she had seen something in the phone book about the Quilkin Institute.
Well, so, in the future, she saw it.
Yeah.
And there is a little bit of conflict there. Like, she finds out that she was adopted.
Yeah. So, that actually ends up happening in episode 7.
Yeah.
But that is something that, like, I feel like they kind of drag out Tiffany's storyline like that a little bit too long. Because they're like, oh, like, you're so boring. Why did you do this? And then in episode 7, we find out that she's like, oh, you know, MIT wasn't all that we'd imagined it was and all of this stuff. And then you find out that she was expelled after she found out she was adopted. But I was like, why could they have not just told this part of the story just all in one conversation?
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to talk about MIT like every 5 minutes for 3 episodes? I get
why we didn't have to touch on it so much. I get why they waited, though, because they were trying to make it a bigger deal, right? Like,
yeah. And I think part of the reason they're like, oh, look, she dropped out of school, or oh, she was expelled, it kind of puts her in that same category as like Steve Jobs or Mark Zuckerberg or like any of those genius guys that drop out of school or were expelled from school and became like these big moguls or like quote unquote geniuses, right? So Mac and Aaron end up going and spying on Aaron's family from afar, and they do all find out that the next opening is supposed to be in 7 years, and a purple cloud appears over the farm and out flies a newspaper and bike and everything from 1988. So they're like, whoa,
it's what anomaly.
Like, what is this? So then episode 7 kicks off with Tiffany watching her valedictorian speech from high school. And this is kind of where we get to hear more about, oh, well, you were adopted. And then that makes younger Tiffany kind of go into a spiral. But then this in itself kind of messes with the timeline if
she finds out too early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then it's like, well, if you find out too early and then like you wouldn't be going into that spiral while you're at MIT when you're older, if you already know what's going, like.
Yeah.
So it kind of causes its own like ripple effect, or it should.
Yeah.
Except
for the whole deal is kind of strange because the paper girls are on this journey, and we're having to assume they eventually get back to their timeline if their regular selves are progressing.
Well, the regulars, like, they're progressing, but they also have no memory
exactly
of this happening, which makes you think that at some point their minds have to get wiped,
or,
like, when they go back,
or that at some point you realize that time is not linear.
Well, that's also
so, like,
a very big possibility.
Just because you went into the future from the past,
but all of it could be happening consecutively.
It's happening all at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of cool to think about.
Yeah. So KJ and Mac end up going to the cemetery to see Mac's gravestone and to see when she dies. And Mac's stepmom is actually there bringing flowers to the grave. And Mac is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she cared enough to show up at my grave. And the day that they're there is actually Mac's birthday. So they're there on her birthday. She sees that she brought flowers, and then they're chatting amongst themselves, and Alice, the stepmom, actually sees them.
Yeah, and it's a stepmom, so she didn't really understand why she cared so much.
Well, remember the first few episodes, she was always complaining about Alice, like, oh, Alice, yeah, with the rules. Alice is such a B word, like, whatever. So then when that's the person who was actually showing up for her, and her brother had also mentioned, like, oh, when you got sick, Alice really stepped in and, like, was really helpful. And Mac was like, yeah, whatever. But she kind of got to see it with her own two eyes, how much she was actually cared for.
They do kind of, like, evade and run away, though. So the stepmother sees Mac, but doesn't know for sure. That's the way I interpreted it.
Yeah, because she starts, like crying, because I think it's one of those things where she felt like, you know, when you just, like, grieve and you're like, oh, did I imagine that? Did I just see that? Like,
yeah. Like, she's like, oh my gosh, now I'm imagining seeing her. Ugh.
So Larry shows up and asks Aaron to come with him, and she tells him how he ends up dying.
Well, he also kind of betrays her trust a little bit.
He betrays her trust all the time.
Even though she's like, you're not a really great person in the future, and I'm guessing you're not a great person right now.
And then he's like, I don't mean to do things bad. He's like, I'm fine. I'm a really good guy. I would never do anything to hurt you, blah, blah, blah. But, like, Larry, like, honestly, for being really smart and, like, doing all the stats and stuff, like, he's actually quite dumb.
Yeah, he, like, calls it in and gets, you know, one of the agents to come and check out the...
Yeah, so Jennifer comes and is supposed to be, like, helping... Tiffany is demanding that her older self go back to MIT, and then she's like, I can't, I was expelled. So, like, that storyline is still going on through the end of episode 7.
It's like a
7.
Distraction, almost. Yeah.
So, the Tiffanys rush to the farm to find Aaron, and then somehow they all end up meeting up at the farm, KJ and Mac and everyone else.
Yeah, I don't really understand how they all did simultaneously, but...
I mean...
Because there's no cell phones, right? Or I guess, yeah, there wouldn't be any cell phones.
Yeah, because they're, what, in 2001-ish? Or 99? They're somewhere around the millennium.
88 or whatever.
Well, they were originally 88, and now they're in 99.
99, yeah. But they did go into the future temporarily.
Yeah, so they've been, like, bouncing all over. So they all meet up at the farm, and there's more debris that's falling. And they find a probe from the old watch, which they destroy. But now they're like, oh no, they're basically going to find us at any moment.
Yeah.
Because there's this probe. And we are going to take a quick break to talk about this week's sponsor, and we'll be back to talk about the finale. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So, what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. I love that they have 2-minute meals. It's great to fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. I like that there's no mess, basically no prep. You just pop it in the microwave, 2 minutes, you're good to go. You're not worried about dishes, you're not worried about prepping or cooking or cleanup. And if you're on the go or you have kids, it is the perfect solution. They have pancakes, smoothies, and more. They have a bunch of great, easy options for breakfast, midday bites, and more. And it's super flexible, so you can pause or reschedule your deliveries at any time. And they've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/IJDHTF50 and use code IJDHTF50 to get 50% off. That's code IJDHTF50 at factormeals.com/IJDHTF50 to get 50% off. Okay, let's talk about the finale.
Episode 8.
Yes, yeah, so this starts off with them sending out a distress signal and connecting with Naldo. And they hear Mac's voice on the other end. Remember, like, in the very first episode where she's talking into the walkie-talkie. And that's the voice they're hearing. And they realize that they're in this big time loop. And events in the future trigger events in the past. And there's actually no changing anything. Like, what's meant to be is meant to be. And Mac realizes that she's destined to die.
And or she gives in to that. Yeah.
So Mac kind of goes off to process that on her own. And KJ catches up with her. And while they're processing this news, the Prioress appears. And, like, this entire time I've been like, ooh, she's, like, the biggest, baddest, like...
She's, like, the Grim Reaper of the...
She's, like, snapping necks and, like, doing crazy stuff. So she actually offers to send the girls back and wipe their memories, but they have to meet the grandfather first. And they're like, well, this is a nice out. It's better than death, right? Like, just being sent back. And Mac keeps joking, like, oh, just make sure you, like, extra wipe my memory.
Yeah.
So then KJ, when they meet the grandfather, is like, hey, actually, can we go to the future first and get a cure for Mac's cancer? And the grandfather explains how redoing things is like recording over the same tape over and over, and how, like, the quality gets, like, warbled and, like, messed up.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it can't happen, because then, like, eventually it just snaps, right?
Gets brittle.
So they're like, well, Mac is upset because he ruined her tape while explaining this.
Yeah, and it's also kind of complicated for everybody, because it's like they're now face to face.
Well, and then they're trying to figure out, like, okay, like, are the Old Watch the bad guys?
But then they're like, they have weapons, right?
Yeah.
So they're kind of like being oppressive a little bit.
And then KJ and Mac decide they don't want their memories wiped, right? They're like,
yeah,
you know what? Like, actually, we want to keep our memories. Like, you can send us back, but we still want our memories. And then the pterosaurs appear, and these are basically like giant pterodactyly.
It's like you went dinos. Back and they got dinosaurs, basically.
Yeah. So Tiffany writes herself a note on that notebook telling herself that she invents time travel, and she gives it to her older self, and her older self reads it right before she gets swept up. But she doesn't have the notebook, so if her memory gets wiped, she won't remember that.
It is kind of strange that, like, the Old Watch? Is that what they're called?
Are the ones with the grandfather?
Yeah. It's weird that the Old Watch is all like, oh, we don't want to change the timeline. But then they're, like, bringing dinosaurs through. Yeah. It's like, you guys...
Well, the thing is, they do all this stuff, and then they're like, we'll just wipe memories at the end.
Yeah, it's like, you guys are total hypocrites.
So Larry shows up, and he's like, you know, I'm going to save the day. And he holds a gun at the grandfather, and then he obviously gets eaten by the pterosaur.
Which, so he dies two ways?
Yeah, see, this is where...
The grandfather kind of gets caught in a lie, because...
Well, I mean, he just messed up the timeline.
Yeah.
Which was already messed up. It's a mess.
Yeah.
At this point, Mac tells the other girls about her cancer because, like, KJ was the only one who had known. And then they're all like, oh.
Honestly, Larry.
If we remember this, go to my bar mitzvah. I hope we're still alive in the whatever future.
Honestly, Larry getting eaten by the dinosaur should be like, a glimmer of hope for Mac and her cancer. Because she's like, oh, like, he's that not changed. Destined. Yeah.
Yeah. So the girls all decide to band together and they're like, we're going to beat the old watch and then go out there. And then the prioress actually ends up offering them a proposition to, that would save Mac's life. And the prioress helps them escape in these pods. And
she like, turned out to be the good guy.
Mac and KJ, they ended up all getting separated because two of the girls jumped out and were trying to help the prioress who was shot. And Mac and KJ end up getting shot off first in one of the pods. And Tiffany and Aaron ended up having to get in a separate pod that was shot off. And then the grandfather shows up and the prioress tells them that Tiffany's the doctor. And that like, oh, she's the doctor. She'll make the right choice this time around if we let her go. And the grandfather doesn't like the betrayal. So he kills the prioress. And the show ends up with Tiffany and Aaron getting out of the pod and being like, oh, everything looks the same. And then they hear a noise and they follow it and they see a drive-in movie theater and a bunch of old cars. So then you're like, oh my gosh, they're back in like the 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
So they've actually gone back in time. We have no clue where Mac and KJ are at this point, like what timeline they're on. And that's just how it ends. So we'll never know. Unless we read the books where they're at.
Yeah.
Which is why I feel like they should have offered them one more season to wrap everything up.
But, or like a half season or whatever.
Yeah, like be like, oh, we're going to do like four more episodes just to, you know, put a little bow on it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it left off in a weird place. And the main issues with the show, why I think it didn't really pick up, is the fact that they did have those pacing problems, and there were a bunch of episodes in the middle that I think a lot of people probably dropped off watching.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
Ending was super good though.
Yeah. The beginning of the show was great and the end of the show was great.
And some of the middle was okay.
And some of the middle, but they could have definitely knocked out an episode or two.
Or just cut out some of
the filler. Yeah. So all in all, good show. I'll probably go back and read the graphic novels now.
Yeah, me too.
I know I read the first volume at one point, but this goes through probably the first two or three volumes just on the show. So, I mean, I'm going to have to go back. And then we did a poll on Instagram about doing Ready, Set, Love as our next I Just Don't Have Time For season. And it was an overwhelming yes. So
look forward to that.
I think we're probably going to break it up into just one or two episodes for the whole mini series, but that's what you have to look forward to next. If there's a show you think we should podcast about on this show, let us know and we will definitely think about it.
All right. Bye.